This is episode 221 of the Church Venture Northwest podcast. We're finishing up Men's Roundup 2018, Make Today His, with Matt Michalatos. This is session four from Sunday morning.
Okay, I was just about to give you some busy work. You got spared. All right. Hey, a story I love from the life of Moses. There are many, but one I really love is he goes up onto the mountaintop to speak to God. And he's up there, and he's been in the presence of God. Now, we saw the other day when we were talking that he was at the burning bush, and he was terrified, and he hid his face. But as Moses grows, he begins to speak to God as one speaks to a friend, face to face, is how it's described. But he goes up on the mountain, and he's speaking to God, and while he's speaking to God, the glory of God, because he's so close, begins to shine from his face, Moses' face, and he comes down from the mountain, and all the people are astonished and scared and amazed. And then this interesting thing happens. Moses puts a veil over his face so people can't see it anymore. And my first thought was always that he was being thoughtful to the people around him. Like, and some of us have experienced that. You've hidden your face to be thoughtful to others. Thank you. But that's what I always thought. But actually what Scripture says is the reason Moses does that is because as the glow began to fade, he was ashamed that it was gone. And what's about to happen for some of you this weekend has been a mountaintop experience where you felt so close to God and so close to one another, and you've been spoken to in some way. And going away from here, down from the mountain, you're ashamed that it might change. You're scared that it might change. And it might. But it doesn't have to. Because unlike Moses, we're not living in a world where we have to walk up to the top of a mountain to interact with God. And the things that you did, the priorities that you made in this weekend to be connecting in community, to be hearing from the Lord, to be worshiping together are things you can do in your everyday life. They are. Require some rearranging, some changing of certain things, removing things. And so for some of us, honestly, being in a place like this, we're like, man, I didn't sin as much because I didn't have the internet. Or I wasn't hearing the news. I didn't get anywhere near as angry, or things like that. And you know what? Those are things you don't have to have in your daily life either. They aren't. You know, I've got a buddy who switched onto a flip phone just because he said it made his life better. It's terrible. He can't read any of my emojis anymore. But sometimes I just send him a bunch of emojis. And he's like, all I can see is squares. And I said, that's right, man. You're a square. Your old phone. I have to call him all the time now. I was actually talking to him on my way here on Friday. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. In a moment, I'm going to have two guys with microphones available, and a few of you, not very many, a few of you are going to have an opportunity to share something the Lord said to you this weekend. It doesn't have to be during a talk or even during a session. It could have been over a meal with somebody. It could have been, while you're laying in your tent alone, or lying in your tent with 40 people. I don't know. We all had different arrangements this weekend. Here's what it's not. This is not an opportunity for you to give a sermon. This is not an opportunity for you to encourage the people around you with, hey, I noticed this and I want to tell you this about you. This is a moment for you to share, to be vulnerable, something God has spoken to you. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to have a short time also, if there's a question that you'd like to ask me that you didn't get a chance to and you want to do it here in this public setting, like please not something like, is it true that, you know, you're actually 10 weasels standing on each other's back in men's clothing? I don't know how that rumor got started. And it's ferrets. So we're going to do those two things. But the reason we're doing those two things is this. One of the ways that we can continue our mountaintop experience as we go from here is to continue to be engaged with one another. And so I want to encourage you that as you're driving from here and there's two guys sitting in a truck, or if you're driving alone, in the next week when you run into each other, that you ask each other these two questions. One, did God say something to you? And if so, what was it? And two, are there questions? Are there things you're still wondering about and asking about? So let me pray for us, and then we're gonna start with a couple people sharing what the Lord has said to them. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that for many of us, we saw you face to face this weekend. And I'm thankful too for the many who did not experience that, who've been honest about it and just said, I don't see that yet. And maybe I want to, maybe I don't want to. Thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the many men I've seen showing love and kindness and patience and respect to one another here. I pray that's something we take home. And I pray in this brief time of sharing that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and through us. In your name, amen. Okay, so I've got two gentlemen with microphones. All you need to do is raise your hand or stand up, and we'll grab a couple. And those guys are going to choose who you are, not me. Well, that looks like plants right here. It's like, hey, could you guys sit up front and share some? Would you just stand and say your first name so everybody can know who you are? And then,
my name is Joe Long, and I'm so grateful to be here because who was here at Roundup 2012? Well, I'm the one that had the heart failure here, and wow. Thank you so much for your prayers. And I'm so grateful to be alive, and I think what God spoke to me today is he extended my life, and he's got plans for me, you know, and he has been having a lot of plans for me and everything, you know, reaching out to other people. But he extended my life for a reason, and I'm really grateful for all you brothers that have prayed for me and helped me during that time of need. Just picking up a brother that fell down, you know,
yeah,
and needed help. And so he showed me what a true father is, because my father was an alcoholic. He was not a good father at all. So I'm learning more about how to be a father and what a father looks like. So thank you very much for your prayers. I'm so glad to be alive.
I don't know. Matt, I got somebody behind this pole back here.
All right. Oh, I see you.
My name's Richard, and what I got out of this weekend, I always felt that if I questioned something about the Bible or about the Lord, I felt I was doubting. Mm-hmm. But now I have the freedom to ask questions with faithfulness.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Hi, my name is James. I got lucky enough to bring my son with me this year here and to share the magic of this place. And God gave me a personal message here. He told me, even though I'm surrounded by people all the time, I feel so alone in this walk, you know? He told me, I'm not alone. I see all your faces, and my son sees your faces. And I'm not alone. I'm with people who love God, and God loves them just as much. And it's breathtaking. This is awesome. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen.
My name is Mark, and it's my first time here. And what I took away from this weekend is I need to stay close to Jesus. Too much in my life, I try running away, and I just need to stay close to that. So, thank you.
I'm Jeff, and I was an addict for 32 years of my life. And I'm now 3 years and 4 months clean. And what God spoke to me is you can do things like this and not be a drug addict like me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Hi, my name's Charlie. And God has showed me last night that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be honest. Yeah. And it's okay to lean on others. And I now know that I have a good group of brothers that I can lean on whenever I need to. So thank you, God, for my brothers.
Hello, my name is Brad Malice. It's my first time here. It's been really great just being connected to everybody and just learning stories. And you just feel just so distracted in everyday life and so, you know, distant from God. And just coming here and trying to get reconnected. And I had an experience during worship today that I just wanted to share with everybody. I have a hard time opening up and even raising my hands during worship. And I actually just let go today, and I raised my arms. And I felt the Lord just holding my arms up. And like I physically could not put my arms down until the end of the song. So I just
that's awesome.
Saw feeling a presence from him.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, my name is Lee Eagle. I actually came here so I can get away from the city, get away from my life, and try to be closer to God. But I realized I'm not the only one that needed a vacation. My kids and my family need a vacation at home too. So I realized the pressure wasn't just high for me, it's high for everyone. So what I learned is I'm gonna try to bring some of this peace home and try to give them a vacation too.
That's awesome.
Hi, my name is James, and I kind of know there's a lot of fathers here, and I just wanted to share a little piece. I went to the workshops, and one of the workshops was about singing and praising with your families, and just how effective that is with your family. And I just got this vision of how happy I am when I see my son praising and joyously jumping around and using all of his heart to just enjoy life. And I just have this vision for my life and my family's and hopefully brothers around me, that joy, that absolutely overwhelming joy that God feels when we praise him and we reach out to him or we just jump and feel him. And I just wanted to say that. So
awesome,
awesome weekend, guys.
So great. Thank you.
My name's Rick, and it happened last night in our session here. I'm not a raise your hands guy. I'm kind of a hands in my pocket guy when we sing. But last night during the last song, I couldn't help it again. I raised my hands. I had tears in my eyes. And they were just streaming, and I just had no control at that moment. And then you had the three things that we were going to do. We're going to clear our minds. We're going to let Jesus take these things that rattled around. It took us our minds away. And the third thing was, okay, where two or three are gathered, God has promised he'll be there with us.
Yeah.
And you said, ask him to show you. And I thought, okay, how's this going to go? And
I feel nervous right now.
Well, nothing happened. So,
oh.
No. So,
that's what I was afraid of.
So I said, all right, Lord, show me.
Yeah.
And I heard, you couldn't hold it in, could you? I'm here with you. It was amazing.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
My name's Mike. This is my first year here at Roundup, and it's been awesome. But the Lord's been moving a lot in my life, and just the ability to come to grips through the Holy Spirit about the fact that I don't have to be afraid about me. I can be honest with him I don't have to be afraid of my shame. I don't have to be afraid of giving him the issues that I have with pride or jealousy or anything like that, that I can give that to him, and I can give that to him with my whole heart and not be afraid anymore, and not let that constantly bug me in my brain that, you know, that's always, you know, over me, and I don't have to, because I can give it to him and it's not my problem anymore. He'll see me through all this stuff.
That's awesome. Thank you.
We're going to do two more. I know more than two want to share, but we're going to do two more.
My name is Chauncey. Something God told me this weekend was, I don't have to look down on others if their walk isn't as good as mine.
Thank you for sharing that.
Howdy, my name's Troy, and this is my first time here. I came here as a mediocre Christian.
Sorry, Troy, I was trying to find you as in here.
As mediocre as I believed, and I didn't continue as, you know, to do what everyone else is doing around. And I did not know what I'd expect, and the first guy I met was, I think, that guy with the microphone. And he says, you're not going to expect this. It's going to be one of the best things that's ever happened to you. And, you know, having a weasel guy and a lot of good music, I think it is one of the best things that happened. This is definitely something I'm going to be coming to more often.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. There's something important here I want to show you. It's rumors. None of these things are true. Listen to this. God has purpose for my life. It's okay to ask questions. I'm not alone. Stay close. It's okay to be vulnerable. Let go and experience God. Bring peace home. That it's good to have joy in praising God. The message, I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. Be honest. Don't look down on others. I want more of this in my life. These are the things that God has said to us in community. These are the insights that are available to us from the people that are sitting next to us. These are the reminders that God will give us from each other. And I think sometimes we get it in our head that the speaker, that the preacher, is the head of the church. He's not. He's not. Christ is the head of the church. And we are his body. We, all of us. And every single one of us, pastors, deacons, elders, people who just started in church, people, we're an organism, and all of us have things we do really well and things we wrestle with, and all of us need help from each other and encouragement from each other. That's part of the reality of being a body. So one of the ways that we can keep this mountaintop experience are those two questions, right? What did God say to you this weekend? And then to share what he said to me. And for some of us, it might be like, I don't know. I'm not sure he said anything to me. I didn't hear anything. Good. Share that. Let's start there. That also is good for us to know and to hear from each other. And then the second thing is like, what questions are we walking away with? And we're going to cheat a little bit since I'm still here with you. And I'm guessing some of the questions might be, I didn't know what you meant by that. Or how do we deal with this other thing? So let's have a couple of questions, probably just two or three, okay? Because I don't want to spend our entire time on it. And again, like I said, please, you know, actual questions, not questions about me being weasels or whatever. There's one. I like seeing Jer run.
Is that really a run? Is that?
It looked like you seem sprightly.
My name is Scott. I'm from Roseburg, Oregon. My first time here. And what an awesome, blessed experience to see the hand of the Father working through so many Christian men.
Awesome.
And this is an awesome experience, man, because, man, are we needed out there in our churches and our families and our society.
Yeah.
Now, let's go forward and be warriors when we get off this mountaintop for Lord Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Scott.
I take two more questions. Okay, thank you, Scott. No, it was great. I appreciate it.
This is an easy one, and only you can answer it.
My name is spelled M-I-K.
No. You shared in one of your sessions, the vast majority of people say that Jesus' message is love.
Yeah.
What did the other person say?
So in our action workshop yesterday, I was sharing that when someone is really, really against Christianity, for whatever reason, like an adversarial toward it, when you're trying to have a conversation about Jesus, that I ask a series of questions. I'm going to give them the whole context here. So the first question is, what's the worst thing that Christians have done in all of history? And what do you guess they say?
Crusades.
The Crusades. And then I say, that's right, I work for Campus Crusade for Christ. That's actually why we changed our name to Crew. They'll say the Crusades, Salem witch trials. Some people will say something, the way Christians behave in the media or today, or you know, toward people who are different than them, whatever. Okay, good. So I say, yeah, that's right. I agree. That's bad. Second thing, what's the worst thing a Christian has ever done to you? And they will share sometimes horrific stories. And then I'll say, I'm really sorry that a Christian, someone like me, said or did that thing to you. I don't say it's not a Christian, because I don't know. They probably are. I've done and said horrific things, and I've had horrific things said and done to me as a Christian by Christians. So I say, yeah, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. It's not how it should be. And the third question is, what would you say is the main teaching of Jesus? And almost everyone in the last 20 years I've asked this says love. And then I say, well, if that's true, were the people in the first two questions following the teachings of Jesus? No, clearly not. So do you want to know more about that? So that's where we go, right? But I did have one guy once not say love, and it's because I was interviewing a dude, I was asking a guy questions. He wasn't someone who was against Christianity. Is that true? No. He was someone in a cult. So his answer of what was the main teaching of Christ was to be obedient to God, which isn't a terrible answer, but it didn't work very well in my thing. So I was like, I'm done with you. I walked away. No, that was the one. But almost everyone says love. Yeah.
Right here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the question I have is, what is happening here? And the reason I bring that up is I was at the right place at the right time, and one of the volunteers, a young lady, she says to her volunteer staff, she didn't know I was there, she goes, I don't know what's happening, guys, but everyone's really chill here, and it's never been like that the years before. So here was a child saying, what is happening here? So that's my question.
That's a good one. This is a good question for you all to explore on your way home. I don't know. I think it might be a combination of food coma and just enjoying the Lord and one another, but I'm not positive, because I think those things may have been true in previous years as well. Yeah, I got to say, I called my wife my first night here, and I said, this men's retreat is much manlier than me. And I got to say, it's hard when you're just 10 ferrets to blend in with the men. But I feel like I've done okay. No, you know, it's so interesting. I had so much fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. And yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. It might take me 6 to 7 years to digest that steak, so... We'll see. I told my wife this too. I was like, they gave me a piece of steak that would feed our entire family. And it's true. And we probably would have had leftovers for sandwiches. One thing I want to say to you all, like the whole connection piece, right? If in the future you want to get a hold of me for any reason, I'd be delighted to hear from you.
If you can spell my last name, which I know is asking a lot, then you can get a hold of me. I'm on all the social media. Well, I am on MySpace, you know, if you're on there. I'm on many of the social media platforms. You can reach out to me there. Or if you want to send me an email, it's just my name at my first name at lastname.com. So matt@michelotis.com. And you can get my name out of the little brochure or whatever. I do want to do this too, though. I feel like sometimes with speakers up front, we get up front and what we share is this pre-packaged thing that we've planned. And obviously we went a little different today, and that's on purpose. But also I want to share with you something that the Lord said to me this week. Because I think sometimes once someone gets on the stage and their big fat head gets on the big fat screen, you start to think that there's someone different than us. Someone who doesn't have issues, someone who's already arrived. And it's just not the case. One of the things, and this was today, actually, sometimes I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm a little different than other people in a variety of ways. The way I teach, the way I think sometimes, and that can be really good, and it can also be challenging. But today, I was talking to a brother here named Joshua, who's from Seattle, before I came in here, and one of the things he said was that we all need to learn to embrace the way God has made us and the creativity he has given us in the way we approach the word. And I felt that was like a direct encouragement to a real insecurity of mine that I sometimes wrestle with. And I felt like Joshua was the word of God to me in that moment to say, keep doing what you're doing. That's beautiful. And so thank you, Joshua, wherever you are. Yeah, and I think all of us, right? We have those things. We have those moments. So what has God said to you, and what questions do you have? Ask that on your way home or in the next week or two. So this weekend, we've talked about how Jesus asks us, invites us with the two words, follow me, that he's someone with a compelling mission, someone with power in the way he teaches and power in his person, and someone who can catch fish, right? And says to us, I'm going to teach you how to bring human beings into the presence of God. And if that's something you want, if you want to be like me, then follow me. And we talked also about the idea of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, which we talked about was like Moses in front of the burning bush when God is saying to him, Moses, Moses, and he says, here I am. And he says, it's me, God. And Moses is terrified because he's in the presence of God. And that Moses' response is to kind of fight God, right? Say, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And that my response, you know, in those sorts of situations is to get in the taxi and get on the plane and get as far away from the burning bush as possible, right? And how do we keep ourselves in the presence of God to be transformed? How do we not fight? How do we not run? How do we keep ourselves in the presence? And then last night we talked about this story of this woman, Jessica, and the scandal to think that as sinners, we can be in proximity to God, close enough to touch, and how that could appear inappropriate, but that Jesus doesn't flinch, doesn't move, but instead looks us in the eyes and says, you're forgiven. All your debts, all your sins, those are gone. And leave here at peace with God and at peace with one another. And then we're going to do one more story this morning to wrap us up. And that's this. The teacher was becoming well known. Everybody had heard about him. The news about him was spreading through the community. And there was a seminary professor named, what shall we call him? Dr. John. That sounds good. Man, he probably has a radio show too. Okay, good. Dr. John. And Dr. John was the kind of guy, as he should be, as a seminary professor, someone who's helping safeguard the sheep, says, I've heard a lot about this guy and I want to go check him out and make sure that what he's teaching is correct. And so he goes to this meeting and he's surprised by the people around him. Like some of them are not people he would expect to be in some sort of religious gathering. And he sits down and they're talking about all these things that have been happening as they're following Jesus. Amazing things. People coming to hear truth for the first time. And strange miracles. And there comes a time for questions. Dr. John raises his hand. They bring the microphone over. And he says, okay, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Seems like a good question, an important one that'll reveal a lot about the teacher. He's testing him. And it's so fascinating because the teacher looks at him and he responds and he says, how do you read it? What do you think? And Dr. John says, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the teacher says, yeah, that's right. Do that and you'll live. Good enough. Great answer. Thank you for your speech. Nice question, right? And Dr. John is a little stunned because he ended up answering his own question. And the teacher just said, yes, good job, you get an A, right? So he's a little like, what just happened? And maybe he recognizes what this all means, love your neighbor as yourself. And he thinks to himself, okay, what are the parameters for that? So he says, okay, follow-up question, who is my neighbor? And the teacher says, no, he doesn't, what do you think? Such a good question. How do you read it? What's your thought? No, the teacher says this. He says, there's this stretch of highway on I-5. This is slightly different than what you'll read in your Bibles. There's this stretch of highway on I-5 in California, starting from Northern California, going down just south of the fires, right? Going all the way down into Los Angeles. And there was a trucker named Steve. And he'd been doing long haul trucking for a long time. And one day he was driving his rig south on I-5. And there was someone on the side of the road that looked like they needed help. And he pulled over to see what the issue might be. And it wasn't actually someone who needed help. It was someone waiting for something like this. And they beat him with a crowbar. And they took his rig. And they took his wallet. And they almost took his life. And they left him there broken and bleeding on the side of the road. Unable to move, barely conscious, on the side of the highway. And the teacher pauses here to let people see the picture, right? This man broken, teeth missing, bleeding out on the side of the highway. You know, where there's broken bottles and the remains of tires, and grass growing up between the cracks of the pavement. But luckily for Steve, coming from the north, there's a pastor and his family driving a minivan, right? A pretty nice minivan. And this pastor is Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike is like the pastor. He's the guy. He's the one, he has a TV, little TV spot. And he has a radio show, and he has a variety of book deals and a podcast and the whole thing, and everyone loves Pastor Mike. And if you have a question, you always go to Pastor Mike. And so many people across the nation, across the world, if they don't know something about theology, they're like, let's go see what Pastor Mike has to say about it. And Pastor Mike is driving south with his wife and his three kids on a well-deserved vacation. They're headed to Disneyland. They're so excited. And as they're driving, Pastor Mike looks out on the side of the road, and he sees a man beaten half to death. And he's pretty sure that's what it is. But this little voice in the back of his head says, what if that's a guy just trying to get you to pull over? He's going to do harm to you and yours. It's a fair question. It's one Steve might have asked. So Pastor Mike, He doesn't pull over. In fact, as he gets closer, he thinks, I don't want my kids to see that. And so he says, hey, everybody, look over there. And all the kids turn and look, and his wife, everybody's looking. And after they've passed the body, they all say, what was it, Dad? He's like, isn't it wonderful, all these fields? And they're like, you're so weird, Dad, whatever. And he keeps driving. And yes, when they got to a rest area, and he had some cell service, and he called the emergency service and said, hey, I think I saw something on the side of the road. But what he loved about it was that later, he used this whole thing in a sermon as an example of how you should protect your family from the world. Right? Just look away to this other thing over here. Which isn't great for Steve. No. But luckily for Steve, we're so happy to know that there's a recent seminary graduate driving down. Now, as you know, as a recent seminary graduate, it was a car of some sort, but it was hard to tell with all the duct tape what kind it was. And he's also driving south. He's on his way for an interview for a job. And he's so excited. He's practicing theology in his head. Soteriology, man. Yeah, that's the one about salvation. Angelology. I always forget that one. He's like going through them. He's thinking them through. And he's so excited. But he's late because he's young and a little bit dumb. He's like 20 minutes late. And he's driving to this church. He's like, maybe they won't care that I'm 20 minutes late to my job interview. And he's driving, and he looks, and he sees something on the side of the road that almost looks like somebody discarded a mannequin or something. He can't tell for sure what it is. And he starts to slow down his car to get a better look because he's like, what is that? And as he gets closer, his nose is almost touching the windshield. The mannequin moves, and an arm flops over, and he realizes it's a person. But he's so late, and who knows what exactly the story is here. And so he keeps driving, and he looks in the rearview mirror, and the more miles get between him and whatever he saw, he keeps saying to himself, no, that was probably a mannequin. That's probably a mannequin. Now, there's one more person coming south, and he's religious in his way as well. In fact, he follows the same God as his grandfather and his father before him. He's driving a really nice car, actually. He's a businessman, and he drives a lot, and so he got himself a really nice BMW, which his wife did not love, but he's like, I drive all the time. I deserve to be comfortable, and I happen to like cream leather seats, and it's just one little thing. I'm making lots of money. It's fine. His name's Mohammed, and he's driving south. And Mohammed sees this man on the side of the road, broken and bleeding. And Mohammed served in the military in his home country before he came here. And he immediately pulls over, and he jumps out and sees that this man is in horrific shape. And he pulls off his suit coat, he takes off his tie, and he uses it to kind of bind some of the places where the guy is bleeding. And he's in bad shape, so he opens the back door. He's done everything he can think of. He picks him up, and he takes him, and he puts him on those cream leather seats, and he closes the door, and he starts driving as fast as he can to the south, and he gets on the phone, and he says to the emergency services, I'm bringing this guy. He's in bad shape. You've got to help us. Here's where I am. I'm driving south as fast as I can, and the ambulance meets him, and he helps get the guy moved into the ambulance, and then he follows the ambulance to the hospital. And when they get to the hospital, the people there say, hey, we don't know anything about this guy. We don't know his name. We don't know if he has health insurance. We don't know who's going to pay. And Mohammed takes out his wallet, and he sets down his credit card, and he says, use this. And when this runs out, there's another where it came from. Don't not treat this man. And he goes out, and he sits in his car, and he puts his head, he puts his head on the steering wheel. They took his clothes, and they gave him some scrubs, you know, because they were so covered in blood. His car is covered in blood. And he needs to go to this meeting. But he lays his head on the steering wheel, and he wishes, he hopes, he prays that this man will be well. He just wants him to be well. And the teacher finishes the story, and he looks at Dr. John and he says, "Who was a neighbor to Steve?" And Dr. John knows, he understands the story. He knows what the right answer should be, but he can't bring himself to say Muhammad. He certainly can't bring himself to say the Muslim. And so he just says, "The one who showed him mercy." And the teacher says, "The Muslims taught you a lesson. Go and do the same thing." And Dr. John leaves that room, his mind spinning, his heart confused. And he gets in his own car and he drives home the whole way, watching the side of the road as if there's an answer there. Right, and I think you guys know this story, right? It's the story of the lost sheep. Wait, that's a different one. It's the Good Samaritan, right? We tend to think of the Good Samaritan always as the good guy because we name hospitals after this person now, right? Of course, we're all like the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, he stops and he helps people. Samaritans are good. But any listener to Jesus' original story of the Good Samaritan, which is from Luke chapter 10, if you want to look at it, it's largely the same. But a man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He falls into the hands of robbers who strip him even of his clothes, and they beat him, and they leave him for dead. And a priest is coming and sees him and passes by on the other side. And a Levite comes and sees him, and he passes by on the other side. But a Samaritan comes. A Samaritan, as he traveled, and came where the man was and saw him and took pity and bandaged his wounds and poured on oil and wine, took the man and his own donkey, took him to an inn, and he took out 2 silver coins and said to the innkeeper, "Take care of this man, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any other expenses there might be." And Jesus says, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Now, the Samaritans, you have to understand that to the Jewish person, the Samaritans were wrong in a variety of ways. To a Jewish person, a religious Jewish person, they were the wrong ethnicity as well as the wrong religion. So Jesus is telling a story that would have been intensely upsetting. And some of you may have experienced, as I told that story, of feeling like, wait a minute, you can't put a Muslim in that story. They're not even followers of Christ. Yeah, that's exactly how you should feel when you read this story. Because Jesus is pushing us on something very difficult, very painful. What he's saying is, what you believe is not the totality of what matters. If you have absolutely perfect theology, like a priest, or like a Levite, and you leave a man broken on the side of the road, and someone else comes along, a Samaritan who doesn't have good theology, and they take care of that person, who's closer to God? And elsewhere we see that we're told demons have really good theology. They've known God a long time, and they know a lot of things about him that we don't. Does that mean they're following Jesus? No. No, it doesn't at all. And sometimes we become so focused on having good theology and so forgetful of being transformed by it that we're more like a demon than like a follower of Jesus. So, hey, take a deep breath. If we're serious about being transformed, then we cannot only have right theology. We want to have right theology, but we must also be people of love. Love for God and love for people. Not Christians, not for our community, people, all of them. That's so key. So this, I'm going to give you one tool for transformation for you to use as you leave this place, and that's this. Three questions for transformation. Who is Jesus? Who am I? And what do I want? These three questions, okay? So as we look at stories about Jesus, who is he? What do we know about him? What is his character? What is his behavior? How does he think? How does he interact? Who is Jesus? Who am I? Where do I match up with Jesus? Where am I like him? And where am I different from him? And then when we say, what do I want? The question is, that transformed heart that God has given me and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, do I want to be who I am or who he is? And if you want to be who he is, then let's start moving that direction. So who is Jesus? Who am I? And what do I want? We don't have to do this alone. We can do it in community with each other. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as well. So don't be afraid of that. Be afraid of the presence of God, sure. So God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us one another. And over and over and over we see in Scripture, especially when Jesus speaks, that he says the transforming principle is love. Love for God, love for others. If you're wrestling with love, that's the core. And it's affecting a bunch of other stuff in your life. So learn how to do it. Figure it out. Ask for God's help. Ask for the help of people around you. And I'll close with this. Jesus wants, we talk a lot about men and what it means to be men, okay? What should men be like? The Scripture is very clear on this. Men should be like Jesus. And all these other cultural constructs we put in place of what is manly mean very little to a Christian man. You can take them or leave them. If you love them, do them. If you don't, leave them. Because the most important thing, but not even the most important, the only thing, is to be men like Jesus. And let me read this passage to you from Philippians 2, and then I'll pray. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to, or something to be used to his own advantage. But instead, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being found or being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Who is Jesus? Who am I? What do I want? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the men in this room, those who don't yet follow you and those who follow you and have been for a long time. We pray for your holy presence in our lives. We pray that you would light things on fire till we talk to you. And we pray that in this community, you would draw us close to you, and that as we leave this place, we wouldn't just make today yours, that we'd make our lives yours. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt.